There's something in you, in each of us, that waits and listens for the sound of the genuine in other people. And if you can't hear it, then you're reduced by that much. If I were to ask you what you desire most in life, you might say a lot of things off the top of your head, most of which you wouldn't believe. But you would say them thinking that those are things that one ought to say or that I might want to hear. But if you were to be stripped down to whatever is literal and irreducible, your answer might be something like this. I want to feel that I am thoroughly and completely understood, so that now and then I can take my guard down and look around me and not feel that I'll be destroyed when my defenses are let down. Those are words of the Reverend Dr. Howard Thurman. I want to feel that I'm thoroughly and completely understood, and I can take my guard down. Today's service is entitled The Whole Self with Welcome and Love. And that feeling, that urge to be completely vulnerable, completely exposed, but absolutely secure. It's an impossible contradiction. You can't feel secure without being protected, and you can't feel protected if you're not defended. And you can't be defended without your guard up, without being guarded. So that's a holy question, a sacred question in front of us. How can we welcome both the self that we project into the world and the self that we guard and we hide from the world? How do we welcome both selves? How do we love all the sides of ourselves? How do we create a space that is brave enough for those whole worlds of the self to coincide? In this spirit, we face that mystery of life, the mystery of the soul's journey, the mystery of death, the ultimate question of who am I? Both the guarded self and the projected self. We guard against pain, against hurt, and the core of guarding is we don't want to experience fear. We don't want to experience shame or disappointment or uncertainty. We create boundaries around these emotions because those are things we don't want to feel. And sometimes we use boundaries such as etiquette, how proper something is. Sometimes those boundaries are around our own authenticity. Sometimes we use social constructs, classes and races and ableism, etc. Sometimes these boundaries are within ourselves, in the mix of unspoken rules that we hold in our mind, the ought-tos and the impositions that we perpetuate. Welcoming our whole self can be scary. Welcoming our whole self exposes vulnerabilities. It can mean that I'm afraid. It could mean that I'm losing control. It can mean that I'm not able to do what I once did. It can mean that I'm afraid to put the love that I have into the world, or into myself, or into a relationship, out of fear that it'll only be returned with doubt or loneliness. I know in the U.S., Unitarians are a group of people who tend to intellectualize long before we allow ourselves to feel anything. Is that true for the dissenting church? Now, speaking for myself, I know that I intellectualize. I know that I listen to the words and actions categorically and I analyze them. And then I overanalyze them. And I prevent myself from getting swept away in the emotions. I have to work to allow my body and my mind to be in the same place. To feel these emotions, to let the intellect's guard down, and to be a whole self. To allow myself to observe love in others, to receive love from others, to love ever deeply. And that leads to the good news. The good news, the gospel of our global tradition. You're worthy of love. Not only are you good enough, but there is an inherent dignity. You have worth and are worthy. When we were breathed into existence, love was the flavor upon the holy breath, and it's woven into our skins and calcified into our bones. To deny that is to deny real reality. And sometimes it could feel like a dream. A dream that if I could just be free enough to let my guard down, I have to risk my safety. The impossible contradiction of having both of these woven into a moment. The vulnerability of it. The uncertainty of it. Being exposed means I have to actually say, I'm not Superman. I can't do it all. Dr. Brené Brown, the patron saint of vulnerability, says that vulnerability is the center of dark emotions and of difficult emotions, but the difficult emotions are the birthplace of every positive thing: love, belonging, joy, and empathy. And I think most of us would agree that our world has a serious empathy deficit. Brené Brown tells the story. A 14-year-old girl comes home from school. She comes home and the tears emerge. She goes on to say that no one sat with me at lunch and they made fun of my clothes. They made fun of my hair. What's our response? Well, if you'd wear the nice clothes I buy you instead of the slop you always wear, would it kill you to take 5 minutes and actually do your hair? Or do we say, that's so hard? We chant our inner 14-year-old with butterflies in our stomach and sweaty palms and empathize and say, that's hard, tell me about it. Or maybe we channel the best version of grandparents ever. Oh, I'm sorry, come in, sit down. I'll put the kettle on and you'll tell me all about it. And I'll listen right to you. Or do we normalize it? That happened to me when I was your age, too. That happened to me last week. It's hard. You're not alone. I'm with you. If you can't feel secure without being protected, and you can't feel protected without being defended, and you can't be defended without being guarded, vulnerability takes down those walls. It offers protection. It weathers the storm. I'm not Superman. And Superman is a great example. Superman has his strengths and his weaknesses. Kryptonite might come to mind. In Superman issue number 662, Lois Lane gets injured. She's in critical condition. Superman is seen there holding her hand, confessing his love for her, revealing the emotional toll of her injury upon him. This moment is significant because it shows his humanity. It shows the depth of his feelings. Superman is vulnerable. And I don't think the Superman did a risk analysis. Do I risk everything I hold in order to experience something deeper like love? I don't think he did that. Now, I know I don't have it all together. None of us have it all together. There are so many things that I am uncertain of, and it's okay. We don't have to have all the answers. I'll put the kettle on, and you'll tell me all about it. Actually, I think somebody has the kettle on. We'll have coffee and tea after the service, and we can connect, all of us. I'm not Superman, and we don't have to pretend. At the center of all of our difficult emotions is the birthplace of every positive one: love, belonging, joy, and empathy. How do you push through the difficult times? How do you coach yourself through it? What is your self-talk? When you've had a rough day, what do you say to yourself? Do you say things to yourself you might never say to another person? A scathing self-critique, insensitive to yourself, dismissing the hard day? Or do you soothe, mentor yourself? You'll get through this yet. Slow down and breathe. You can do it. You can do anything. You're amazing. This commitment requires a willingness to embrace the risk, to live beyond disappointment, to look beyond our own short-sightedness, to empathize with ourselves, with our parents, with our children, with our neighbors, to create space to allow that whole self, the liberation of the whole self, the integration of that secretly hid self and the one we project out. At the start of the service, I asked you to think of a talisman of love in your mind's eye. And take a moment and feel that love. Does it help to hold on to connection? Can it help foster belonging and joy and empathy and awe? Can it be there with you as you take the risk to help welcome in your whole self? Love is the fundamental building block of community. It's what it means to be a member of a church. It lets us to take the risk. It lets us to love ever more truly with our authentic and whole self. In a moment, I'll stop preaching now, and we'll get on to the most holy of endeavors to share ourselves, because somebody has the kettle on, a cup of tea, cup of coffee, and a listening ear. Let us love ever more deeply. May it be so.